Welcome to Battle Ready, the show where we tackle the real struggles that leaders face and uncover the strategies to overcome them. And I'm your host, Ricky Chavez. Today we're joined by Arthur Medina. He's from the Humble Servant of God, ordained minister and CEO of KE System Services. Arthur's leadership journey spans both business and faith, and he's here to help us walk through some of his journey and where he's been. Arthur, welcome to Battle Ready.
Thank you.
So, Arthur, you have a pretty interesting story here. You know, you've had some challenges, maybe even some setbacks, I would say, based on what you share with me. Tell me a little bit about where you started. What happened to you that really changed your life?
Well, I'll begin by saying that I grew up on the East End of Houston. The second ward, and I just became a lost kid. You know, I thought at 15 I knew everything, and before you know it, when you start running the streets, you get into trouble. Mm-hmm. And I found myself getting into serious trouble with the law, and unfortunately, I was responsible for a crime that was committed, and I was certified as an adult and sent to prison with a life sentence.
Okay, now that must have been just an emotional situation there, huh?
Yes, sir. I mean, I at the time was lost, and I just wanted to blame everybody for my circumstances, and just, you know, so immature and irresponsible at the time that I just couldn't understand what was happening. And then it was in prison that I was challenged by someone who asked me a very simple question, and that was, did I believe in God? And it changed the trajectory of my life.
It's as simple as a question, but as powerful a question as that. It made some changes. So how do you mean it made some changes for you?
Well, at the time, I was sitting in solitary confinement, and I was asked that question because, obviously, my life was reflecting that of someone with no hope, no vision, no purpose, and I basically was headed down to where I was either going to get killed or the state of Texas was going to kill me, and I just came to that crossroads in life, and I had to come to terms with my situation. And that question is what helped me to see something different. It just made me stop and think that, you know, what is my purpose?
And I'm sure you had quite a bit of time to reflect being in. I think when we talked before, you were in solitary confinement for years.
I was in solitary confinement for 15 and a half years, and ultimately served almost 27 years flat.
So tell me about solitary confinement. I mean, if you want to share, I know.
Well, the solitary confinement's a very, very oppressive environment. There's sensory deprivation. You're in a 6x9 cell. You don't know if it's night or day outside. But I used that time to really dig in into learning different religions, and ultimately it was by reading the Bible that really spoke to me and just challenged me to change.
And so during that time, and we're talking about, it wasn't like an overnight thing. How, I mean, what were we talking about? Years, months? What was that?
We're talking years, 'cause I had all these different misbeliefs and all these different, you know, lies that I was believing just about myself, about my family, about my upbringing, and ultimately God brought me to this crossroads to where I had to learn to trust Him and trust His process or continue down this path of destruction. And I chose the right path, and it's led me to understanding myself. You know, obviously, I look back and I just can't believe the things that have happened in the past. I don't know sometimes whether it was just a nightmare, but I truly wish I could change it, and I can't. And so it was upon that I just trusted in God and what He said in His Word, and I've moved forward from that, and I live what I call a repentant lifestyle.
Okay. So how can someone begin to uncover a deeper purpose behind their work that they do each day?
I think part of that would be just understanding who you are and where you stand with God. When you get in the right relationship with God, I think that it helps you to understand your purpose. And I have to be specific because of just there's so many people that say, this is God, this is God. Well, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Okay. So can you share how you found a purpose in your own career journey?
Sure. I mean, it was really in prison where I was learning how to just fully trust in Him, no matter what the circumstance was. I mean, if you think about it, I'm on a maximum security prison where not everyone is going to behave, not everyone is going to be good. And God put me in a unique position where I could be a positive impact in the prison population through what Congress passed called the Safe Prisons Act. And I helped to incorporate that program so that it would reduce the violence that's in prison.
So how did you do that? I mean, you probably got a lot of pushback from the other inmates, maybe?
There was a lot of pushback, but I think what helped is that, again, it wasn't just me. There were other guys that assisted in this pushing the program and who believed in it. I think that once you really get people to sit down and really think, that's the problem. A lot of guys have reacted to things. They've responded out of emotions, and when you sit down with them and you just point these different things out that the program helps you to see, it was very impactful, and it made people have to just stop and think about where they're at in their life.
So what advice would you have given a younger you?
Be more open-minded, not to be so adamant that you know everything, because I think that's part of the problem. I was 15 years old when I ran away from home, and I thought I knew everything, and quickly realized I don't know nothing. So, I think that being more open and not discounting wisdom, using common sense, and I think one of the most important things would be, you know, what our parents taught us, you know, the values that were instilled in us. Don't forsake that. They raised us to be gentlemen or daughters, and it wasn't to be unlawful or committing crimes.
So now you've kind of found yourself, I'm going to say, right? And it was coming towards the opportunity for you to get out of prison. Tell me about the emotions between, and you were in prison for 27 years?
Virtually 27.
So 15 years. To, don't make me do math.
Yeah.
What, 42? Is that 42?
No, the total is 27.
Okay, so but when you went in at 15, right, or 16?
I just turned 17.
Okay, so when you got out, you were?
44.
Okay, so that's kind of close. I did a little bit of math. But so now you haven't experienced what's going on out here, and you're getting ready to get out. They're telling you, all right, there's an opportunity or possibility. What's going on through your head?
I was preparing myself before I got out. I had gone to college. I went to school. Took all the different courses you can take, and the culture shock was definitely very different. I didn't even know how to use a cell phone. I was like, grab the phone, breaker, breaker, 1-9, you know.
Okay. All right.
And my parole officer taught me how to use my phone. But I think that I was, it was overwhelming, yeah, to say the least. Everything had changed so much, yet I was so thankful. I was so appreciative that I had been given a chance. So, yeah.
So now you get out. So what did you do right away? I mean, what kind of work, what kind of, so tell me some, how we're going to get to where you're at now. But so what were the steps then?
Well, it was tough. No one would hire me. I mean, no one wanted to give me a chance. And so I just stayed patient. I continued to just trust the process. And in due time, I was given an opportunity to start working. And I just maximized on the opportunity. I felt that even though I was getting paid minimum wage, that was better than nothing. That was better than the alternative, that's for sure. And I dedicated to proving myself and to them that, hey, listen, you didn't just hire anyone. You hired someone that's going to be an asset for the company.
That must have been, took a lot of patience.
Yes, sir. I mean, if you're in solitary confinement for 15 and a half years, you get taught patience.
I bet. So we'll be right back with Arthur Medina. We'll talk a little bit more about his journey. Welcome back to Battle Ready. If you want more of what you're watching, stay connected to Battle Ready and every nominated TV favorite, live or on demand. Anytime you like, you can download it through Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS. Excuse me. And you can unlock the workshops or the nonstop bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. If you're on the move, you can also, you know, go to the podcast version of Now Media on www.nowmedia.tv. Now, you got to understand, we talk about business, we talk about news, lifestyle, culture, and beyond. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, 24/7, ready when you are. Now, we're back with Arthur Medina, and in this segment, we're going to talk about his next step journeys of where he was to where he is now. Arthur, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, we had a pretty interesting conversation in between. We talked about, okay, now you had just been in prison for about 27 years. You're learning how to use a cell phone.
Yes.
You're trying to figure out what this place has to offer. You finally get your first job, and you were just happy about the job.
Yes, sir.
And you were cleaning, what, tell me again?
Vent hoods at nighttime.
And at that time, what were you thinking? I mean, where do you think the direction you were going?
I knew I was going to excel because I was just grateful to have a job and, you know, working when no one else would give me a chance. And I expressed that in my interview. I said, I realized that if you look at on paper or my past, you may not get past that, but if you could just look beyond that, I promise you I'd be the best employee you ever had. And before you know it, in 6 months' time, he made me a supervisor of that cleaning department. So.
And you said something else, and I can't put my finger on the words. It was like reborn. What was it you said about your...
about being a new creation. Yeah.
New creation,
so
yeah.
Basically, because I do prison ministry and I go back and I share with the guys that when they get out, they're going to face opposition. They're going to face adversity. Why? I went through it. I know. People are going to judge you, and that's okay. It's up to you to show that you're a new creation in Christ and that the old is over with. Today's a new day. And walk in that newness of life. And you'll see that doors will start to open for you.
And I mean, what was the time frame, you know? So you after 6 months, you became a supervisor?
Yes, sir.
And then how long did you do that?
I did that for another 6 months to a year, and then ultimately was promoted to VP of Operations.
Okay, so Now you're VP of operations. What would you say to that kid or that young adult or even that older adult that's out there that's trying to get some direction and maybe has dipped their foot into the water of craziness and not sure what they do? What would you tell them?
Well, the past is the past. You can just forget about that, move forward, put the work in. And I think that's what helped me was that I not only worked hard and worked with integrity, but I worked and I studied. I studied my craft. I studied the trade. I studied the laws. And before you know it, it's just people started coming to me for suggestions on how this should be done or, you know, things of that nature as far as what we do in ventilation work.
Okay. And so how many years did you do the VP of sales before you opened up your own company?
I did that for about a year and a half, 2 years. And ultimately, I just, with my wife, we prayed about it and said it was time to move on. And when we moved on, we started with basically out of, you know, nothing, out of our garage. And I have a saying where if God gives you the vision, he'll give you the provision. And that's exactly what he's done with us. And God bless my wife. She worked full time and then helped me at nighttime. And different organizations gave me a chance that remembered me from the past in their interactions with me. Because all they know, they didn't know my past. They just know I work hard and I work with integrity. And that's all that people care about at the end, that a job is being done with excellence.
So for someone who feels unfulfilled, how could serving others change their perspective?
Well, I mean, that's what the definition of true leadership is, and that's a servant. Being a servant. Make everyone around you better. Walk in that purpose. And if you're walking with purpose, people have to step aside for you because most people are just wandering around lost. Whereas if you have purpose and you move forward and you know that you know that you know that you're doing the right thing, then doors will open for you, no doubt whatsoever. And then as you serve, you know, as you help people be their best, then you'll feel good about that for yourself, for them, especially when you start seeing them progress and get better and better.
And how many employees do you think you have right now?
I currently have 15 employees.
And how do you coach them?
Well, one of the ways I tell them upon hiring is they cannot work for me. They can only work with me. And that's a different mindset and mentality. And I say that I have more responsibilities here, but you have the responsibilities there. And if we do together work and do what we're supposed to do, then synergistically, it's for the greater good.
And so it's a partnership.
Yes.
No, and I like that because I told you earlier, I was a realtor and I have a small team. And one of the dudes, when I sit down with them, I tell them, listen, you don't work with me or work for me. We partner. This is ours. You know, we're both entrepreneurs, right?
Yes.
And the other thing I said, don't chase money. Take care of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems to work for us pretty well. I met you through Rick Figueroa.
Yes.
And Rick was on our show a while back, very strong-willed guy.
Yes, sir.
How's your relationship? I mean, how do you know him?
He's my best friend.
Yeah?
One of my best friends, yes.
And y'all talked a little bit about you coming on the show today, right?
Yes.
And what did he say to you?
He really didn't say much. He said, listen, I've got this guy that wants to interview you, and I want you to think about it and pray about it. And if you want to be on part of that show, just I'm sure he's going to reach out to you. So, and you did. You reached out to me.
100%. I listen to people that are very passionate about other people. And he was very passionate about you. And he told me a little bit about your background. And then I thought after we talked, I was really, really impressed about just your level-headedness, the way you presented it. And I thought that there's so many people out here and that watch. And earlier today, I found out our last show, we had a little bit over 3 million viewers. And so somebody out there has been where you're at or going through what you're doing. And what would you tell them about the journey?
I would say, one of the examples I like using is that when you see the worm crawling around through life, it's hard to see the butterfly in that worm. And yet if you trust the process, and you come to that place where you start forming your wings, you become who God wants you to be. And once you break out, you can't help but soar. And that's trusting the process. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes there's heartache. Sometimes there's setbacks. But no matter what, stay focused and keep walking in your purpose and trusting the Lord. And he will make your crooked path straight. That's what he promises.
Excuse me. So now you have an AC company. Is that right?
We specialize in ventilation. I like saying we like taking air out of a building instead of putting air back in.
Okay. So tell me the name of your company again.
It's KE System Services.
So how will people reach out to you if they need some? You do commercial predominantly, right? And residential?
I don't do residential too much, but I do commercial and industrial. And I've really kind of ventured into the industrial space because it's, funny that you would think he's a competitor, but that's how God works. This is a man of God who owns Eldridge USA, who asked me to help him with his product. And so sometimes people get caught up in the competitive nature, whereas he didn't see that. He saw that if we form a partnership, it's actually better for all of us. And so I give thanks for that opportunity to serve that company and what we do for them.
So you go out and use their product.
Yes, sir. Yes. I always look at how I can help the customer. And he has the solution to a problem that's pretty prevalent in our space, in the commercial space.
And what is that?
It's called the bear unit. If you go to where the fajitas, the fajitas put out a lot of grease, hamburgers, there's a chronic problem that many people aren't aware of that happens from the exhaust. All that heat laid in there, it goes out into the rooftop, creates a hazard up there and stuff. So he has a solution for that and has blessed me with the opportunity to incorporate it into the market.
Well, amazing. So we'll be right back with Arthur, and we'll talk a little bit more about his journey to his current corporation. Welcome back to Battle Ready. We're continuing our conversation with Arthur Medina. Let's talk about one of the most common traps leaders fall into. When you come out and take over an organization and you have your 15 employees, but they're not really employees, they're partners, they're working for themselves, but with you. How do you become successful that way?
So I think that when you have your mission statement that's clear, the core values that are before them, and then you really, portray the vision that you want for the company. We want to be the best. We don't want to be average. We don't want to be, and I asked them individually, how do you want our company to look like? How do you want people to perceive this company? And how does that reflect in your work? And that's how I portray it when we have our team meetings and go over safety stuff. I make sure that everyone has input and that they understand their role is a contributing factor to our success.
And you know, that's, I think, in order for people in, that work for others to feel that way, there's got to be a trust in there, right?
Yes.
And you know, in my previous show earlier today, we talked a little bit about leadership and the trust factor, about knowing your people individually. And I like that you said that. You go to them individually and talk to them about how they want it to look. What do you say to them if maybe they don't even know? How do you guide them?
I help them understand that. I help them understand that, one, I've been where they're at, cleaning at nighttime with no supervision. It's nighttime. It's a dirty job. But they understand the importance of doing that job because it prevents fires from happening.
Okay. And so why do you think many leaders and business owners, they fall into the trap of trying to do everything alone?
Well, I think personally, from what I've seen, is that they believe that no one can relate to them. And just trying to carry the load themselves, whereas they have to learn how to delegate. And sometimes it's hard to do that when you delegate things or tasks to other people.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think people have a struggle with delegating?
People struggle with delegating only because of, one, is they're afraid of relinquishing control. That's one aspect. But it also could be that they don't know if that other person truly will take care of that responsibility as they would.
So it's a trust thing.
Yes.
You know, my wife makes fun of me. She says I'm the delegating king. I'm like, look, after being in the military for 20 years, we talked about this earlier, right? Is we get taught to train the mission is done all the way to the bottom. Everybody's part of the mission. Everybody needs to know the mission. Because if the leaders fall down, somebody needs to take the mission through, right? Mm-hmm. So we teach them everything. And, you know, one thing I had a guy tell me a long time ago, if you're not failing, you're not trying.
Yeah.
You know? And so with you, you know, you step in, you open up your own business, you start hiring people, you start coaching and developing them, and then the fear of failure from you as a leader, how do you cope with that?
Well, for myself, I have to look at it as you win some and you learn some. You know, most people say you win some and you lose some. You win some and you learn some. You got to learn from whatever mistake that you possibly are making. One thing I convey to everyone in our organization is that people don't lose their employment behind making a mistake. No, it's because we don't accept responsibility and accountability for it. And if you don't do that, then that goes into the trust factor. Because at that point, people are not truly being team players at that point.
Do you ever partner your workers up? And how would you do that if you do?
Well, we have to go out in teams for okay. The jobs that we do. We have three-man teams. That could be a male and two females or all males. It doesn't matter, but we all serve a different role. Some people would focus on the top side of the job, which is up on the ceiling. Others in the middle part where the hoods are, and another on the filtration. And it just depends. Everyone has a role that they play for this job to get done. And that's just on one side. On the installation side, which I am very actively involved in the planning and the execution, but I also know my role. When my techs are out there with me, I trust them to do what they're supposed to do, and I just help them so that we get the job done faster.
How do you work with the different personalities of the individuals on the team? Is there any coaching? Do you have a senior person at each team, or are they all peers? How does that work?
I do have, on the cleaning side, I do have someone in charge for the most part that helps to make sure these jobs run smoothly, which is our scheduler, Sadie. She does a tremendous job in making sure that jobs are scheduled appropriately without overwhelming the employees. On the other side of it, I have Josh, who is my operations guy, and he's a great individual. He's been with me for 15 years when I first started in this industry.
Okay.
Yeah, he was with me at the other company, and he's here with me in this one, and tremendous, faithful, loyal guy, for sure.
When you say 15 years moving from one company to another company with you, that actually speaks very well to you. Because obviously there's a loyalty that he has to you, and that's something that isn't really given. It's earned, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, I always let everyone know I am not your provider. God is your provider. I'm just a steward of the company, and my role is to help you succeed. And I ask them to just do their best, and we'll leave the rest to God.
So, can you tell me of a situation that something happened that was kind of bad, and maybe even early on in your organization, and how you rallied everybody, even if when they thought, "Oh my God, this was horrible"?
Yeah, I mean, there's various situations that have happened. From I'll say on my side, you know, as an owner, we worry about payroll being made and stuff like that. And so cash flow, there's cash flow issues. And when I saw that we were in a position that we may not make payroll, I pulled everyone in and I explained the situation. And I said, this is where we're at. I have to cut hours so that we can try to build this back up properly. And it's my mistake, it's my fault. And you know, everyone said, go ahead, I'll work half-time, part-time, until all this goes through. And some even volunteered to work for free.
How does that happen?
Just being honest, you know. And then that's the one thing I tell them. I don't have all the answers. I am not smarter than Solomon. That's a biblical joke there. I am not smarter than Solomon. I do need a lot of help, and I tell them that's where you guys come in. I need you guys. I can't do my job without them, and they can't do it without me.
Maybe that's what's made you so successful. And you were talking about earlier that you have an opportunity to speak in Michigan?
Yes, sir. The Movement Leadership Summit. And it's basically just sharing how to be successful. I mean, what is success? You know, to me, success has always been not what we have in the bank or the things we possess. To me, success is being at the center of God's will. That's no simple. Just as simple as that.
And how does that work in like your family, like your personal family?
In my personal family, I mean, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's that simple. My wife is a praying wife. She takes care of me. She is my my missing rib plus a bonus.
Okay.
And I just I don't know. I don't see anything else beyond that. You know, it's not an option for me. The Lord has been so good to me that would be foolish is to turn my back on God. That would just be foolish.
And so You have it in your personal life, you have it in your work life, and I know we were talking about earlier just about how focused you are on the presentation and talking, and mm-hmm. So I think you're pretty strategic in everything you do.
I try to be intentional of making sure God gets all the glory and that we're in the right place, the right frame of mind, not to get too far ahead of ourselves and not to fall too far back, but just try to be in the moment, understand what we're doing. Don't go out and be Superman or Wonder Woman. That's what I tell my teams. Be responsible. Be safe. Let's go do our jobs and come home the same way.
We have a little bit of time left, a few seconds left. Tell people how they would get a hold of you if they need some help with the ventilation systems.
You can look at our website, www.kesystemservices.com. You can also call us. The phone number's on there. It's 281-815-7901.
Man, it's been amazing having a conversation with you and getting to know you. You've done some amazing things in the transition. And tell me, I have to hear what you said. How did you put it again in your new path? What was the way you said it?
Just walk in the newness of life.
Right. Well, it's been a pleasure with you, Art. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon in Battle Ready. Welcome back to Battle Ready. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media favorites. You're streaming live or on demand whenever you are or wherever you are and whenever you want. You can grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our online lineup of bilingual programs, both English and Spanish. If you prefer podcasts, you can listen to Battle Ready anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more, Now Media TV is available 24/7 so that stories you can care about are always with you. So now we're here back at Battle Ready with Arthur Medina. And what an amazing story he's been so far, talking about struggles in life, prison, somebody giving his first chance, and now owning his own company for 15 years. Welcome back, Arthur.
Thank you.
So talk to me about how you got chosen to speak at this upcoming event in Michigan.
I'm a part of an organization called C12, which is a Christian roundtable where business owners come once a month to learn how to incorporate biblical principles into the market. And the gentleman that's over this organization asked the CEO of C12, and he recommended me for the speaking engagement.
How you feel about that?
It's an honor. I think it's a great honor and a privilege to share about the power of God and what God can do when we trust Him with everything, our business, everything.
So how, I'm not even sure how to ask this question. So how would you say your employees or the people that are partnered with you, how do they grasp that?
How do they grasp?
I guess the question more is like, what if there's a person that is kind of doesn't believe? I mean, so how do you walk them through it?
It's okay. I mean, it's not for me to change anybody, just to encourage and to pour into and most of all, let them see my life as I go from day to day and how they see me handling success and failure. We're the best Bible anyone will ever read.
How do you mean?
I mean, most people don't read the Bible, but if you're walking as a representation of who God is, then you're the best Bible people will ever read.
You know, I've never heard that before. That's pretty intuitive. So you set the example, I guess.
Yeah. As I say, don't be about it. Don't talk about it, be about it.
Okay. How hard is that?
Not hard at all. Not hard at all. Now, when you're committed and devoted to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, every day is a new day. And every day there's an opportunity to join in God's work.
So did you feel like that your whole, how long did that take to get that?
I think that when I repented and just asked the Lord to forgive me and to change me and to help me to be the man he's called me to be, that's when things changed for me. I went from being a pessimist to an optimist. I think that I feel my mission in life is to set the world on fire for Jesus.
Okay. And what kind of pushback do you get?
None that I know of, because to me, it's like, I'm not trying to offend nobody, and I'm not trying to shove it down nobody's throat. I'm just being who I am, and I know what the Lord has done for me.
And so it makes you a better person to you.
To me, I just don't see life without him. You know, it's like you got to have balance.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
And if you have balance, then everything's kind of like in their proper place, business-wise or personally.
Interesting. So, you know, I've had conversations like this with a lot of people, and I just try to do good. I don't call it anything else. I just, you know, but I think that I don't know if I would have the discipline. I don't even know if the word's discipline to walk that way all the time. How hard is that?
Well, I mean, technically you can't, not just in and of yourself. You have to learn to rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And then God will lead you into all that. And what you're seeing, or as they call the fruit, that's a byproduct of your relationship with God. So the closer you are with God, the more you start looking like him.
You know, I didn't expect the conversation to go that way, but it was just, you know, it's a good conversation because I'm kind of inquisitive about it, right? Mm-hmm. And I like to, I love to see people's successes. And you know, the first time I really heard was with Rick recently, you know, when I had Rick on the show. And he was, I mean, it was all, and so I started thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So I was very curious to see where this would go. And what you're, I mean, it's like, I see two of the same people, you know.
He wishes he looked like me, though.
Is that what it is? I'm gonna make sure Rick hears that part of the show. But I mean, I think the good thing about it is, and both of you very successful, and doing good things out there. So, talk back to the kid on the street out there, that has his head in the clouds, but the wrong clouds. What would you tell this guy?
No, I would say that probably the one of the most important things you can do is have accountability around you. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the homeboy on the block. I'm talking about people who are successful, that are working. Doesn't mean you have your own business or things of that nature, but people that are honoring God, honoring their family, and truly want the best for you, as opposed to those that are trying to lead you to end up in jail or dead.
So how can leaders out there bridge the gap between, you know, the older traditions and some of the new, younger innovations?
Well, I think one of the ways is just simply being who you are. And I think that as you start developing that relationship on a spiritual level, that has no, it's not a respecter of persons, if you will, because we're to teach the younger and be an influence to the younger people. And then we seek counsel around people that are our age or older.
So what strengths do different generations bring that we often overlook?
What strengths?
Strengths.
Strengths.
Sorry, strengths. That was my
sorry, word. No, I think that sometimes, though, as an older guy, we may discard the younger opinion because they're young, but scripture says to Timothy, don't let people look down on your youth Why? Because they may be more creative. They've got an idea that's something we've never really thought about or considered. So I would just be open to that. You know, there's no, when it comes to team, there's no big I's or little U's.
Okay. I never heard that before. That's pretty good. So how can leaders set up a environment for their team to be open and learn from each other spiritually?
Well, spiritually, I would just say that always offer that opportunity to pray for them, to encourage them. I think that there's a lot of misconceptions about, the Lord and serving Him and stuff. So just see for yourself what the Word of God says, and you'll see the truth will reveal itself to you.
Well, Arthur, this has been incredibly valuable. Where can people reach out to you at work and, continue this conversation with you?
Again, you can call us on our work phone. I get all the messages, and it's on our website, www.kesystemservices.com.
So, Arthur, thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom with us today and uncovering your purpose in your work. And to strengthen the people out there, knowing that just because something's went crazy in your life, that you cannot rebound from it. I definitely appreciate the time you spent with me today. And, I've learned quite a bit from you today. I appreciate your even keelness.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Hope to see you soon on Battle Ready. Thanks for being with us.